It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Black lung disease has always been one of the on-the-job hazards endured by this region's coal miners, a debilitating disease for which there is no cure, and it's driven many of the miners into unemployment and even death. For over four decades, miners who contract pneumoconiosis, the official name for black lung, have been eligible for monthly payments and medical benefits through the federal Black Lung Benefits Program funded by the U.S. Department of Labor. But miners seeking the compensation that's owed them are being hurt by a backlog, forcing them to pay out of pocket for medical expenses. By the time some cases are reviewed and approved, the disease has claimed the lives of the miners. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey is among a group of U.S. senators attempting to reform the process. He joins us by phone. Senator Casey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you again. Thank you.
Thank you. And also with us is Dr. Kevin Gibson of UPMC's Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine Department. He is a national expert on lung disease. Dr. Gibson, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Senator Casey, let's begin with you. Why is there this administrative backlog of cases involving minors with black lung disease?
Well, part of the reason for the backlog is institutional in the sense that the Department of Labor has not had the resources to deal with the backlog over the last several years, and sometimes there's a lack of and I know this as someone who supports strongly government agencies, but sometimes there's a lack of urgency or an absence of urgency. In this case, you can see it right in the numbers. We sent a letter. I sent a letter along with a number of other members of Congress to Sean Donovan, who's now the director of the Office of Management and Budget, formerly the Housing Secretary. But we sent him a letter at the end of July where we note that there's a 20%, 60% problem, a 20% drop in the number of administrative law judges that would adjudicate these cases, and a 60% increase in the number of cases in just about an eight-year time frame. So not enough judges, and that's one of the reasons why I'm asking the administration to increase the budget, the Department of Labor's budget, as it relates to the number of judges so they can handle more of these cases and process them more expeditiously.
And in the meantime, you've got this delay going on, and it can take, as I understand it, a couple of years in some cases or more for the miners to have their cases heard and to be awarded the benefits they deserve. So what happens to the miners while they're waiting for their cases to be handled?
Well, in many cases, they become sicker and sicker, and as you noted in your opening, some of them die waiting. And this is a classic case, unfortunately, of justice denied. You know, justice delayed is justice denied, and I can't think of a more chilling and a more disturbing example of just that. The other problem we can, and we'll talk about this more with Dr. Gibson. He knows a lot more about this than I do, which is the problem with the one doctor that took on a lot of cases for the industry where. He found, this is Dr. Wheeler, he found, according to published reports by the Center for Public Integrity and ABC News, not a single case of black lung in over 1,500 claims. And then when they did the investigation after the fact, looking at autopsy evidence and other evidence, he should have found black lung in a number of cases. So that's a whole other problem for the miners.
And Dr. Gibson, let's have you explain exactly what black lung disease is and how coal miners contract it.
So the term black lung disease, unfortunately, is not really a term that is part of the medical lexicon, if I can use that term. The disease we're referring to is coal workers' pneumoconiosis. And coal workers' pneumoconiosis is a disease that develops usually in miners that work in the coal industry that have usually face exposure to the mine. And it can have, we generally divide it into sort of three different types of disease, depending on the level and type of exposure. The most common thing we see is something we call simple pneumoconiosis, which is probably a large percentage of those patients that are diagnosed with black lung. And simple pneumoconiosis is a problem where you develop very, very tiny nodules in the lung, which, generally speaking, are not associated with much in the way of symptoms. The severe disease, the serious disease, is what we call complex pneumoconiosis, or another term we use to describe it is progressive massive fibrosis. Those patients usually go on to respiratory failure, and those are the folks that usually die from the disease. Fortunately, they represent a relatively small percentage of people who are exposed. So the technical terms we use are simple and complex pneumoconiosis. I think the term black lung disease kind of entered the popular lexicon, but it doesn't really capture how we think of the disease in the medical field.
And I would throw this next question out to either of you, Senator Casey or Dr. Gibson. As you pointed out, Senator Casey, there is a 60% increase in cases. Why are we seeing this increase? You would think that in the 21st century, with newer technology, that there might be better equipment that would help prevent these cases of disease from occurring. But as you mentioned, they're on the increase.
Well, part of it is attributable to this the lack of resources. In this case, the lack of administrative law judges. That number going down over time, and that increase that I cited before, the 20% increase, that was, just to use the numbers, that was 5,220 cases in fiscal year 2005 to 8,320 in fiscal year 2014. And then, so you add the drop in the number of administrative law judges by 20%, but then added to that, just like a lot of other governmental operations, is the effects of sequestration. And that's one of the concerns that I have, is we may be facing the sequestration, for those who don't know what that is. That means across-the-board indiscriminate cuts, which went into effect a couple of years ago, and then were lifted, but that may be imposed again if there isn't an agreement in Washington. So the effect of the across-the-board indiscriminate cuts has made the problem even worse. And we've seen the number of cases grow by 30% in just 2 years to some 14,000 cases. And that tells you the gravity of the problem, or the size of the problem.
And Dr. Gibson, what is your take on this? And what questions do you have about why this profession doesn't seem to be any safer now than it was in the days of John L. Lewis?
Well, I think that's a good question. One of the things that's happening in the lung profession is the tools that we have available to us to diagnose these diseases is far superior, and probably really came into widespread usage only in the last decade and a half. One of the most important tools being the CT scan, or computerized tomography of the lung, which is widely used now to diagnose diseases like co-workers' pneumoconiosis. In the old days, we relied heavily on x-rays, chest x-rays. And in fact, it was I like to call it a cottage profession of people who became expert readers of chest x-ray. And we've come to realize now that that tool was woefully inadequate, both in its ability to detect co-workers' pneumoconiosis and even to classify it in terms of likelihood the disease would progress or not progress. So now that we have this new tool, the CT scan, I think we're probably much more accurate in recognizing lung disease that results from exposure to coal, and we're also much more likely to appropriately classify it as a form of disease that's either going to be progressive or non-progressive, and other diseases that might coexist that contribute to the disability, including diseases associated with cigarette smoking. So I think we're in a sort of this evolutionary phase in medicine where we have much, much better tools now, and they're only now perhaps beginning to be applied to the large population of coal workers who are exposed and have significant problems related to that exposure.
Are there better means at our disposal or at the industry's disposal now to better protect miners, or is it simply a case of when you're working in these conditions, this kind of thing, black lung disease or pneumoconiosis, as you using the clinical term for it, that isn't it surprising to you, doctor, that there aren't better ways to protect miners, or is it simply just part and parcel of the job?
Well, I think there are better ways to protect miners. I mean, in many occupations where inhalable materials pose a hazard to workers, there are equipment available, obviously, that can minimize that exposure. And I think that's certainly true in the mining industry. It's perhaps the problem perhaps is adherence, perhaps even availability of equipment in certain mining areas. But I'm sure that we have the technology available to protect people who are at high risk of exposure to coal dust and therefore to these types of lung diseases.
It's
becoming a global problem, though. Obviously, coal is becoming a much bigger industry, particularly in developing countries. And so, you know, worldwide, we're seeing a great deal more of this problem, perhaps a little, hopefully a little less in this country over the next decade or so.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guests are Dr. Kevin Gibson of UPMC's Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine Department. He's a national expert on lung disease. And Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Bob Casey. We're discussing problems preventing coal miners from receiving medical benefits they desperately need. Senator Casey, earlier this month, you laid out a plan to reduce the claims backlog and what you have described as a broken system. Explain what you have proposed.
Well, basically, what we're trying to do in the short run, and this takes a lot of work and effort just to get folks in Washington to focus on this. We, for example, we had a hearing on this issue in the subcommittee that I chair, and it's likely one of the few, if only, coal miner hearings in the last 20 years in the U.S. Senate. So it's a rare topic for people to be, senators and House members to be focused on. So we're trying to bring a lot of focus and attention on this, and part of that is to focus on the basic budget challenge. I believe, and I think the evidence is crystal clear on this, that the administration, even though they've added a 12% increase in their proposal for fiscal year 2015, that 12% is a good start, but they need more than that. We're urging the administration to add at least $10 million more, because that's the dollar amount, and you can actually figure this out specifically. That's the dollar amount that would at least help the department to begin to reduce the backlog, the delays facing these miners and their survivors, as well as the employers themselves. And again, 12% plus $10 million on top of the 12%. Will only begin to reduce the backlog. It won't wipe it out, but a dollar amount less than that will just, at best, we'd be kind of running in place, if not falling behind.
And meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Labor has implemented new protections to protect the health and safety of coal miners. Reportedly, some coal companies have already filed lawsuits trying to take away these protections. What can you tell us about that, and to what extent mining companies are fighting you on providing protection for miners?
Well, at a minimum, what the companies have a right to challenge the assertion that a miner has about his claims, but they don't have the right to provide evidence that's fraudulent. And there's a lot of evidence on the record that Dr. Wheeler made a number of findings. I don't know the exact number, but a number of findings that simply weren't based upon the medical evidence. So at a minimum, miners should get from the industry not just fair play, but accurate medical evidence. And in this case, we've pushed the department long before they actually have a change in policy to start telling their offices around the country that if you get a medical determination from Dr. Wheeler, that you shouldn't put much weight behind it because his findings have already been questioned. So when it comes to the law firms and the doctors that form the foundation of what the industry says and does, I think the industry needs to start to play fair, and the department needs to crack down when they see evidence of fraud or evidence that is tainted that would dramatically and adversely impact the award of the claims to the miners. So, Paul, I just have to run because I've got to do another interview, but I've got to run, and I know Dr. Gibson will have a lot more to say, but I have to run, and I'm sorry to do that.
No, I understand. We know that you're pressed for time. We appreciate your joining us here today to talk about this issue. Senator Casey, thank you so much.
Paul, thank you. Thanks, Doctor.
And continuing our conversation with Dr. Gibson, are we any closer to finding a cure for black lung than we were decades ago?
A good question, and I think the focus really is on prevention, obviously, reducing the risk of this type of occupational lung disease. Because in truth, I mean, once you have dust particles in the lung, then many of these dust particles can trigger a reaction in the lung, which is actually quite appropriate and protective. That is, you get lung scarring, and this lung scarring is a normal part of the lung response, one that we often don't want to necessarily eliminate. Now, there are new therapies for other types of scarring lung disease. I don't believe that will likely be a rational approach for co-workers pneumoconiosis, because really the most important thing is to reduce the risk of getting this disease, and obviously that's through better protection and preventive measures.
And in terms of that, what else needs to be done to by the mining companies to make coal mining safer for the men who do it?
It's hard to believe that the technology for safer coal extraction doesn't already exist. I'm not an expert in the coal industry, but I can appreciate the fact that the industry has been around a long time. And there's been a great deal of talk, perhaps in the political arenas, of clean coal technologies. I don't know much about that, but if it's as good as it sounds, I believe that's the direction the industry has to go. I mean, I think there's no doubt there's a value in coal extraction that we need to we need this industry to thrive in our society. But there has to be measures to protect workers who are involved in this type of occupation.
Meanwhile, Barbara on Twitter says, in order to receive the benefits for my mother after my dad's death, we had to take the company to court. And again, that's Barbara on Twitter. We had Senator Casey here addressing the legal side of this and the backlog in cases that he and other members of Congress are trying to deal with. And also joining us as part of this conversation is Dr. Kevin Gibson of UPMC's Pulmonary Allergy and Critical Care Medicine Department. Again, Dr. Gibson, a national expert on lung disease. Dr. Gibson, thank you for joining us and shedding light on this horrible disease, pneumoconiosis, better known to many of us as black lung. Thanks again, Doctor.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll take you on a visit to an Italian garden. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Thank you.